open our hearts, our minds, Lord, as your word comes forth this morning. Bless each and every soul. Bless those, Lord, that cannot be with us this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Your children's church is dismissed, but look at somebody and tell them, God's good. And they look at somebody, they look back at him and saying, I hope you are. Hold it. Communion. Children, y'all come on back for a minute. Y'all come on back for communion. I'm sorry. That was a test. All the test. Y'all passed the test. All right. Everybody done good. God is awesome. All the time. Aren't you glad to be in God's house this morning? I'd rather be here than the finest funeral home in the land. How about you? Amen. We're going to receive communion. Communion is a very important part in our worship. We actually acknowledge what Jesus did for us. Amen. How many sometimes kind of forget? You say, how can I forget? Well, we might not forget in our mind, but we forget in our actions. Amen. So it's always good to look back to communion, through communion, at what he did. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, for I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine his neighbor. Oh, there you go. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. I want us to pray. I just want you to ask God, is there anything in your life that's not pleasing to him? Anybody had any bad attitudes lately? Anybody sitting beside somebody that had bad attitudes lately? It might be because they're sitting by you. Amen. But look, no, I'm just kidding. Look, you had a bad attitude, or you've done things you know that you shouldn't have done, or you know God's not pleased. Just ask God to turn on the spotlight on the inside. And when he turns the spotlight on the inside, just ask God to take it. And let God take care of it, and then we come take communion. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your power and for your authority. I know, God, that you're an awesome God. You're an all-powerful God. That there's nothing that we can do or say, God, that you can't take care of. Father, show us, Lord, if we got an attitude problem. Show us, Lord, if we got an action problem. Show it to us, Lord. Help us, God, to be ready, Father, just to give it to you. And we thank you for it, Lord. Father, the Bible didn't say that we had to be perfect. The Bible says we're to give it to you and you'll take care of it. I ask you right now, Father, to minister. Help us, God, to look to you, Father, for something special this day. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. This day is your day. And we gladly thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Brother, can you get the lights? Turn the lights down up here. The Bible said on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And then he blessed it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me, or what he's done for us. Also the same night, he took the cup and he blessed it and said, drink it. This is my blood of the new covenant in remembrance of me. Come, let us join at the Lord's table. This is his body broken for you. This is his body broken for you, little sister. This is his body broken for you, big sister. This is his body broken for you, sister. Body broken for you, mighty man. Praise God. This is body broken for you, sister. Body broken for you, sister. Body broken for you, sister. Body broken for you, mighty man. Body broken for you, mighty man. Body broken for you, sister. Body broken for you, brother. Body broken for you, sister. Body broken for you, mighty man. Body broken for you, brother. Mighty man. Body broken for you, sister. Body broken for you, little sister. There you go. Body broken for you, sister. Body broken for you, brother. Mighty man. Body broken for you, sister. 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 Body broken for you, mighty man. All right. Body broken for you, sister. Body broken for you, sister. Body broken for you, sister. Body broken for you, sister, and for your healing. Body broken for you, brother. His body broken for you, brother. His body broken for you, sister, and for your healing. His body broken for you, brother. That's broken. His body broken for you, brother, sister. His body broken for you, sister. Good boy. His body broken for you, sister. God bless you. All right. His body broken for you, brother. Mighty man. His body broken for you, mighty man. Body broken for you, sister. His body broken for you, mighty man. Body broken for you, mighty man. Body broken for you, sister. Body broken for you, mighty man.
And I wake up in the morning,
God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise Him, church. Praise Him, church. Praise Him, church. Come on, praise Him. He did for you what you couldn't do for yourself. Praise Him. God is awesome. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise God. I'm going to get me a job at the optical place adjusting glasses. Because I also get a job at the optical place destroying glasses. God is awesome. Play that first video. I should have told you before I got up here. I want everybody to stand up. I want y'all to stand up and look at each other. Stand up. Look at each other. Tell me you're looking good. And if you're having a hard time saying it, say you're looking good in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I want you to get out and touch somebody. Reach out, grab their hand, tell them, thank you, God, that we can be in your house. Thank you, God, we can be in your house. It's good to be here with you. Praise God. Children, now you're dismissed to children's church. Shake somebody's hand. Shake two or three hands. Go ahead. It's okay. That's the one. We're going to sing it. We're going to sing it. Yeah. Amen. Y'all sit down too early. Come on, stand up. You can always tell everybody you burn calories when you come to every Christian church. We're going to talk about, it really works out good because we're talking about today, all stressed up, nowhere to go, praise God. Well, you can lose some energy, lose some of that stress today by getting up and down, amen. I want us all to sing this song together. This actually is going to be like the core. The next couple weeks I'm going to talk about stress. Anybody here ever experienced stress? Anybody here even experience might be under some stress now? Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about stress and stress relief. Today we're going to talk about, all stressed up and nowhere to go. Okay, I knew y'all would get it eventually. Amen. It took me a while to get it too. Okay. All stressed up and nowhere to go. Have you ever felt like you were just blocked in? Stress had you. It had you so you couldn't turn any way. You just felt like you were all blocked in with stress. Well, you know, I find when I find myself in a stressful situation, how many remember Vic's Formula 44? Well, next week we're going to talk about the Formula 44 stress relief. All right, so next week's Formula 44, but today is all stressed up and no place to go. But when I find myself in a stressful situation, I just start singing. Then people hear me and they get stressed. Amen. Now, I find myself in a stressful situation, start singing. My wife even asked me one night, she said, "Who sung that song?" I said, That was sung by the Gaither Vocal Band. She said, "Well, how about letting him sing it?" So I find myself in a stressful situation, I sing. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing a song today before, and you're probably going to hear it again by the end of the service, but a different way. But I just want us to focus on God. And before we sing, I do remember also, Frankie is not doing good this morning, and they text me and asked me, please pray for them. She's hurting all over. And Daniel is hurting all over. He don't know what he's done, if he sprained something, hurt something. He was under the car, working under the car yesterday. So both of them asked for prayer. So let's remember them quickly. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch them. Lord, touch their bodies. Lift them up, strengthen them, Lord, and touch their spouses, strengthen them. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, I want us all to look at this. I want us all to sing. You're not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You're not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is.
You are God
alone from the time
began. You are on your throne. Right now,
in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Yes!
You are the God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. But you are God.
Come on, church, sing it.
The God alone
from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. And now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne, and you are God alone.
Oh, unshakable.
Come on, that's right. That's right. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're an awesome God. Unshakable. Yes.
That's what you are. You are God alone.
From before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. In the good times and bad, you are on your throne, and you are God alone.
Unshakable,
unstoppable, that's what you are. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Get your Bibles out. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Only going to read two short verses. All stressed up and no place to go. Praise God. God is awesome. All the time. I just can't say it enough. God is awesome. Praise God. He's something else. Second Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat. It's a battle. Wow. Then there came someone told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazar Tamar, which is in Gida." Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I ask you, God, to touch right now, Lord, to help us, Lord, to understand that you're a powerful God. And, Lord, although we may find ourselves hedged in, Lord, because of problems, Lord, you're never hedged in, Lord. And, Father, I know, God, that there's not a problem that we have that you can't handle. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. And there's absolutely nothing that you cannot do. We trust you right now, Lord, to touch, to anoint each and every person, Lord, to bring revive hope and to relieve stress. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You just get my five on the way down and say, God's good. All right. Hey, have you ever just got mixed up before? Just got mixed up. Didn't realize what was going on. Huh? Am I the only one? Well, I know there's not the only one because my wife does it too. There was a man reading his paper early one morning at the breakfast table. His wife came over to him and patted him on the shoulder. She looked at him and smiled and said, "I bet you don't know what today is, do you?" Every man likes to hear that, don't you? He said, "Of course I know what day it is." And he went back reading his paper. He didn't have a clue. But he was afraid that he would make his wife upset. So she was really sensitive about special occasions. So he thought to himself, is it her birthday? This must be it. So after work, or so when he got to work, he called the florist and had a bouquet of white roses sent to the wife. Then as the day went on, he began worrying that flowers may not be enough for such an important day. What if this is our anniversary? So he went to the jewelry store down by his office and picked out a beautiful tennis bracelet and had it delivered to his wife. And as he started home from work, he decided maybe he should also stop by and buy an expensive box of chocolates to bring her, just in case. He pulls up in the driveway and his wife runs out to greet him. He gets out the car, presents her with a big box of chocolates. She throws her arms around him and says, "Oh, honey, this is the best Groundhog Day I've ever had." Yeah. Sometimes you kind of forget what's going on. You kind of get caught up in what's happening, and you just kind of forget things, and you get caught up in what's happening around you, and then you start stressing about it. So that's what we're going to talk about today, getting in the grip of stress. Now, stress itself is a mental, emotional, physical, spiritual pressure that comes in from all sides and begins to press you in to the point where it's hard to think, it's even hard to do normal things. It starts pushing you beyond your normal ability to handle things. And what it does is it initiates the fight or flight or freeze response. Now, we're talking about fear on Tuesday nights, and so this week is the last week on fear. It was 2 weeks, and we kind of led into today, and we're going to lead out of this one Tuesday night with part about fear. But the fight, flight, or freeze, and of course, just with some animals, the fight, the lion, the bear. You come after them, they're not going to run, they're coming at you. All right? Then the flight. Think about a squirrel or a sparrow. You come after them, and they run. Then think about freeze. Think about a rabbit. It freezes to begin with, and of course, then it does flight. But that's the fight, flight, or freeze. Sometimes things hit us, and it makes us want to be aggressive and fight. Sometimes things hit us, and we just want to run. God, just let me run. And then sometimes we're just kind of stuck there with that kind of gazed look on your face. Amen? And so this is what this is. It's stress. Stress is like an iceberg. How many know that an iceberg, only 1/8 of the iceberg is above the water? There's 7 times or greater below the water or below the surface. And so people that are experiencing stress and you're noticing it, as you notice them experiencing stress, I want you to know something. What you see is only the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more going on down below. There's a lot more happening in that brain and happening in that spirit. And it drives you, and it thrives on driving you the other way. And stress does not discriminate. I've seen young and stressed out. I've seen elderly stressed out. I've seen those of childbearing age stressed out. It doesn't age, race, religion, it doesn't matter. It is very, very easy to get stressed out. Now there are, watch this now. Go ahead. Y'all remember this? Here's that poor old zebra, and his stripes are coming off. And he says, I think it's stress. Have you ever felt like that? Your stripes are falling off. You got to pick them up and pull them behind you. Watch this. Here's some ways to deal with stress. Of course, this is my favorite old way of doing it. The anti-stress kit, place kit on a flat, hard surface. Follow the directions provided in the circle. Bang, hit here. Repeat until you're stress-free or become unconscious. How many does everyone do that? Just, I can't believe it. I can't see what I'm seeing. I don't understand it. But it's happening and it's driving me crazy. Well, there's other ways to handle stress. Let me just kind of talk about some stress. Because if you don't understand that some stress is good for you. How many know that? Yeah. See, stress, there's the normal stress, day-to-day part of life. When that alarm clock goes off and you look at it, all of a sudden you begin to feel a little jolt in your heart or in your system, and that is the beginning of stress. And if you hit the snooze, you're going to feel more stress, and the more times you hit the snooze, the more times you're going to feel the stress. But it's okay. It's normal, everyday stress. It helps us meet demands. It helps us meet schedules. it motivates us to do what we have to do. So normal, everyday stress is okay. It's healthy. Somebody say it's healthy. Tell somebody beside you, it's healthy, really. It's healthy, really. Okay. But then there's the abnormal stress. That abnormal stress is a job change, sickness, a death, all things that you're not expecting to happen. You know, I heard a story about a girl who went off to college. She didn't write very often, but on this one occasion, she wrote her parents, and when they got the letter, they were elated. But when they opened it, it read, Dear Mom and Dad, I would have written sooner, but all my stationery burned up when the dormitory burned down. Then she went on to say, Please don't worry. I found this good friend, and I have been living with him for the past 3 months. And Mom, don't worry. I think you ought to know that he is such a good friend that we have decided to get married. Oh, by the way, you're going to be grandparents soon. And don't worry about the disease. The doctor said it is overcome. After she had written all that, she signed her name and then added a P.S. Please disregard all the above. The dormitory didn't burn down. I'm not living with a man. I'm not going to get married. I'm not pregnant. I'm not sick. But I did get a D in history. It's all in how you see it. Amen. But here it is. Here comes that abnormal stress. Then there's long-term stress. Long-term stress is a loss of a job. Long-term stress can be chronic sickness. And you can put death in that same place because there's that abnormal stress from a death. Then there's the long-term stress of trying to learn how to adjust to what's going on, that chronic problem. You know, this is an oldie but goldie, but here's a stress diet. If you're stressed, how many might feel a little bit of stress? You ain't got to raise your hand. Just like this, like you're in an auction go. How many here might be feeling just a little bit of stress? How many here is feeling a lot of stress? Okay, get ready. Here's a stress diet. This is oldie but goldie, but you'll like this. This diet is designed to help you cope with the stress that builds up during the day. Number one, breakfast. A half a grapefruit, one slice of whole wheat toast dry. 8 ounce skim milk. I would die with that kind of breakfast. Didn't say die for that breakfast. I would die eating that kind of breakfast. For lunch, 4 ounce lean broiled chicken breast, 1 cup of steamed spinach, 1 cup of herbal tea, and 1 Oreo cookie. Getting better. Mid-afternoon snack, the rest of the Oreos in the package. 2 pints of Rocky Road ice cream. 1 jar of hot fudge sauce, nuts, cherries, and whipped cream. For dinner, 2 loaves of garlic bread with cheese, large sausage, mushroom, and cheese pizza, 4 cans, or 1 big large pitcher of tea, sweet tea, extra sweet tea, 3 Milky Way or Snickers candy bar. And for late evening snacks or evening news, eat a frozen cheesecake directly from the freezer. Now, I'm going to help you out a little bit. You say, I can't eat all that. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this. If you eat something no one else sees it, it has no calories. When drinking a diet soda while eating a candy bar, the calories in the candy bar are canceled by the diet soda. Y'all didn't know all this stuff. Aren't you glad? Like Will Nye, the science guy. What was his name? Bill Nye. Okay. When you eat with someone else, calories don't count as long as you don't eat more than they do. Foods used for medicinal purposes never count. Example, hot chocolate, toast, Sara Lee cheesecake. If you fatten up everyone around you, then you look thinner. That was my plan. Yeah, my wife says, how come you just get, she just says, I don't eat, I graze. Amen. Movie-related foods do not have calories, but they are part of the entertainment package and not part of the personal fuel. Example, milk does, buttered popcorn, junior mints, and Tootsie Rolls. Cookie pieces contain no calories. The process of breaking the cookie causes calorie leakage. Did y'all know that? Break your cookie before you eat it. If you're in the process of preparing something, foods licked off knives and spoons have no calories. Example, peanut butter on a knife and ice cream on a spoon. Foods of the same color have the same number of calories. Examples, green salad, key lime pie, mushrooms, and white chocolate. Note, chocolate is a universal color and may be substituted for anything other. Amen. So that's your stress diet. If you feel like you might be stressing out, you need to chill a little bit. Sometimes just eating feels better. But look, there's normal stress, there's abnormal stress, there's long-term stress. Either way, it's still stress. And if we don't know how to handle it, even the healthy stress, I know people that the healthy stress drives them crazy. Just normal, everyday, get along stress drives them up the wall. So now, here's the problem. When stress comes in your life, watch what it does. It will box you in. If you're not careful, you don't handle it correctly, it'll box you in, it'll wear you down, and it will choke you out. Back that up and show how that stress come in again. Does that thing come in? Look, watch. Watch this. Woo! See how that's how stress just got everything else blurred all around it? So you find yourself boxed in, worn out, and choked out. And so now here's where Jehoshaphat's at. Here's a man trying to live for God. Here's a man that's one of the greatest kings of Israel. He's just an awesome man, and he had a very bad example before him, his daddy. And so here's this guy, he's trying his best to live for God, trying to do what is right. And in the middle of living for God and doing what is right, he finds himself in an extreme, stressful situation. You may be here this morning, you're trying to live for God, you're trying to do right, you're trying to exalt God in all that you do, you try your best to please Him, but in the middle of all this, you find yourself under a bombardment of stress. And while you're under this bombardment of stress, you wonder, God, I serve you with gladness, I love you, I do what I can for you. I don't understand why this stuff is happening. Let me just tell you something right now. Satan hates you. He hates you, and he is going to try you. He's going to bring anything and everything he can to make you feel like God could care less about you. But au contraire, God cares so much about you. So let's talk about Jehoshaphat. What did Jehoshaphat do when the grip got him? Can you imagine? Here's Jehoshaphat minding his own business, and then they start telling him the armies are coming. Matter of fact, there's three nations plus coming his way. They're not coming to wish him well as a king. They're not coming to wonder if they can help him out. They're coming to take him off the throne. They're coming to cause him to be a slave unto them. So they're coming to destroy everything that Jehoshaphat is building up for God. So now, we watch this now. Here's what's going on. Here's the message. The first part of the message is outnumbered. There's three nations that have united to divide him. Remember, stress divides. Stress divides. It divides your mind, your ability to think, your ability to reason, your ability to think logical. When stress is coming down on you, all that's thrown out the window. He's outnumbered. He's outgunned. One nation will be a challenge, but three equals impossibility. Some of y'all in here today, you may have that one challenge coming, and you're thinking, God, this is tough. But some of you in here today may be going through that, like the three coming at you. You don't know what's going to happen, because what you're going through seems like it's going to take you down any second. And there's nothing you can do to take care of this. So because of that, he was outnumbered, outgunned, and he was out of gas. Stress gripped tighter. It's like a boa constrictor. A boa constrictor will take its prey, and it will squeeze it and squeeze it till it squeezes all the life out of it. Some of y'all in here right now, this boa constrictor of stress has got you. And it's pulling, and it's pulling hard, and you feel like your head is about to pop off. It's squeezing so hard, and it's that stress, and you're wondering, God, why is this happening? Because I love you and I serve you. I don't understand. Remember, Satan does not want you to understand, will not want you to believe that God's got your best interests at heart. So now, watch this. This is the method. First is response. You know, I tell you this all the time. Life is 5% what happens to you and 95% how you respond to it. That's why two people can go through the same thing. One can thrive and one will just perish. Life is only 5% what happens to you, 95% how you respond. And so his response was, if you read a little further down, I like this. He says in verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared. I mean, it hurt him. It hit him. It hit him hard. And he set himself to seek the Lord. Matter of fact, he was so involved in seeking the Lord that he even proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. Now, watch this. The response, how you respond to your stress is going to have a lot to do with how God or Satan comes in now and either takes control or is left out. So there's the response. Then there's the responsibility. Jehoshaphat had some responsibility here. He was the leader. He was the one. He was the one that saw what was going on. It was no time to vote present. It was time to do something. But if he did right in his response, the responsibility would shift from him to God. And he knew that. If you're in here today and you respond wrongly, I can tell you your responsibility, you'll still hold that responsibility, but it'll shift from you, and Satan will take the horns and he will run with it. And he will drive you up the wall. You're thinking, I don't understand, it gets worse and worse and worse. Because Satan is driving the vessel. But when God, when you respond in the right way and you give it to God, it's his responsibility, then what happens is you find hope. You find relief. Now let's just look for a second. I want to tell you about somebody. You see, I'm just going to spell stress. Here's how he did it. We're going to spell stress. All right, ready? All right, so here it is. Y'all can write stress on a piece of paper, write it down, stress. And here's what Jehoshaphat did in this chapter to take care of it. Number one, seek God's guidance. How do I shift the responsibility to God? How do I respond in the right way? How do I keep this from overloading me to the point where I can't even function? Seek God's guidance. The Bible says in verse 3 that Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. You know, everybody in here, you're an example. Did you know that? Everything you do is an example for somebody because somebody's watching you. You may not even know they're watching you. There's people that you influence up to 10,000 people in your lifetime. You don't even realize people you're influencing. They're watching. So while they're watching, watch this. An example, you serve as a warning or a way. Think about it. My life, things I do can serve as a warning or it can serve as a way. Let me ask you a question. Which one would you rather be? A warning or a way? Don't do it this way, or this is the way that you get it done. You see, King Asa, he's his dad. Let's just turn there for a minute. King Asa, his dad, he is the king. And in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of King Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go up and or out into Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and out of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Lejion and Dan and Abimen and all the cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass that when Baasha heard it, then he left off building Ramah and left it and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all of Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built with it Geba and Mizpah. And at this time Hanani the seer came to Asa the king of Judah and said unto him, because I have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lumbans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. In other words, why didn't you come to me with it? Why did you try to figure it out yourself? And so he didn't just figure it out himself, but what he did was, let's just talk about this just a little bit, and then we're going to move on. Here's what happened. Asa, he faced a similar threat. Here's Asa, he's facing this threat, and the response, he chose to appease the enemy versus please God. I'll leave it right there. Just chew on it for a minute. Secondly, responsibility. He gave up, gave in, and gave out. He just said, look, I'm not seeking God on this, and I'll just go in here, and I'll just grab all this gold out of God's house, out of my own house, and the silver, and I'll give it over, and I'll make a league with this guy, Ben-Hadad, and everything will be okay. Then relief, there was no hope, because stress gripped his entire reign. From here on out, he would have wars. The whole time he reigned after this, he had war, he had tension, he had stress. Let me tell you something, when you find yourself in a stressful situation, appeasement equals compromise equals stress. Amen? Remember, before you give it in the wrong direction, remember, Satan is your tempter. But after you do it, then Satan now is your accuser. And so here we go. So first, seek God's guidance. Number one, seek God's guidance. Number two, trust what he tells you to do. Verse 17, he says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Wait a minute, there's three countries coming against us. We are outnumbered, outgunned. I'm out of gas. He says, listen, trust what he says to do. First, there's a promise. He will, watch this. He said, I'll be with you and I'll fight for you. There's two things there. I will be with you, meaning he will not leave you emotionally. He won't leave you emotionally. He's going to help you from tearing all the pieces inside. He's going to help you. Number two, he's not going to leave you physically. He is going to do the fighting for you. Trust him. God has the answer. Trust him. Now watch this. Watch. Now, there's our promise. He said, position yourself. So watch this. Watch. Position. Make room for God to work. God wants to do a lot of things in our life, but we don't make room for him to work. He wants to, but we keep taking it out of his hands and bringing it into ours. Or we try appeasement, we try compromise. God says, if you're in a very stressful situation, you find yourself with your back against the wall, you're all stressed up and nowhere to go, you don't know which way to turn, your mind is not even thinking correctly, here's what you do. Look, make room for God to work. Ephesians 6, 13 and 14 says, taking you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Wow. In a spiritual battle, he said, after you've done everything, you put on the whole armor of God, after you have said, I'm going to be strong in the Lord, and I put on the whole armor, after you've done everything within your power to stand. Watch this. Here it is. I like this. You do what you can do, and God will do what you can't do. That's a good place to shout right there. You do what you can do, and God will do what you can't do. So T, trust what he tells you to do. R, we're spelling stress. Anybody stressed out yet? R, remember past victory. He says, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? If God worked a miracle in the past, he'll do it again. He's not waiting for us to bail him out. He's not waiting for Congress to decide whether he should move or not. Thank God for that. God is God is God alone. If he helps you with the lion and he helps you with the bear, he's going to help you with this uncircumcised Philistine. God is God. Come on, y'all. God is God. If he did it before, he'll do it again. Come on, somebody. If he did it before, he'll do it again. If he did it before, he'll do it again. So now E. We're stressing here. E. Exalt God above the problem. O Lord, our God of our fathers, verse 6, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms and the nations? In your hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand against you? You got a choice. Here's the choice. You can talk about the size of your problem, or you can talk about the size of your God. Woo! You can talk about the size of your problem. You can talk about the size of your God. We've got a God that has never sounded defeat. We've got a God that has never sounded retreat. We've got a God that's never walked around going, what am I going to do now? God is not in heaven walking around sucking on a bottle of Maalox trying to figure out how to get you out of this stress. God knows what you need. God is able. And then S, solicit the prayers in support of others. Jehoshaphat proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Watch this. A lot of times we involve the wrong people in our problems. Come on, that should be a big amen. We got a problem with our spirituality. We'll go to the person that's got the least amount of spirituality and ask them, what you think I should do? And he wouldn't know. I mean, he don't even. No, I'll just leave that alone. We got a problem with involving the wrong people, and they give us the wrong advice, and we follow the wrong advice. I wonder why. Well, we sought wise counsel. Yeah, it might have been wise, but it wasn't the right counsel. It's kind of like this: if you're an electrician, you don't go to a plumber to find out how to wire something. If you're a mechanic, You don't go to him to find out how to build a house. You find this. Here's how I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you something quick here. Well, this is going to help you. This is going to help you more than anything. Who to involve in your stress? Of course, God, number one, his word. Watch this. First, involve those that are involved with the problem. Because they're concerned. They're generally concerned. That's genuine. If there's more than one of you in the problem and it's coming, involve them all. Involve them. It's important that you involve the people that are involved in the problem. And secondly, involve the people that are involved in your life. Again, we're talking about godly people, but involve them because they truly care too. Have you ever walked to the grocery store and you said, look, I'm really having a hard, hard problem. And you start pulling your heart out. And as you're pulling out your heart to them, they're looking down, reading their emails. Or by the time you get through, they go, well, that's good, I'll pray for you. Again, godly counsel. Get those involved in the problem and those that are involved in your life. And this is not asking for their opinion. This is asking for intercession that moves the heart of God. Amen. I'm almost through. Y'all can stop stressing. The last S, stress. Stand on the promises of God. So they rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. You say now he's getting ready to tell them we're going to do something that's going to seem kind of crazy. Well, we're not going to put out the army first. We're going to put out the choir first. And they're going to raise their hands looking like they're in defeat. They're going to be saying something a little bit different than we give up. Amen? See, and they began to sing praise to the Lord. Oh, let's go a little bit further here. And they rose early in the morning and went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established, believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the Lord and say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Wow. This is awesome. Let's watch this. Let me just read a little bit further. I like this scripture. So awesome. Matter of fact, let me just stop for a second, because I got the scripture for you to read it too. As pressure and stresses bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. That's Psalm 119, 143. That's awesome. We think God's word might not be relevant for today. Think about it. As pressure and stress bears down on me, I find joy in your commands. All of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascends to God, or ascends to God for his glory. That's all this New Living Translation. So watch this now. Here it is. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were against Judah, and they were smitten. And the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches from the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. Whew. Wow. All right, get ready. Get ready. Watch this. Just quickly. Number one, the praise. Right now, you're stressing out. Right now, you don't see an answer in sight. Praise. You can't think of anything else to do. You praise God. You praise him. You praise him. You praise him. You praise him, and watch what he'll do. Praise. That's what they did. And when you praise God, you'll find your faith is built up and you find power. Then the push. They moved forward. Remember from Tuesday night, fear causes us to retreat. Faith causes us to move forward. And as long as you're before you can praise God, you're in fear. But as soon as you begin to raise those hands and praise God, you will move forward. Now watch this. Then finally, there's the power. God brought confusion. I want you to watch this. God brought confusion. They didn't have to even fight. All they did was go in and pick up the spoils. They didn't have to fight. God said, I'll fight for you. They didn't even have to fight. God's got this. Somebody say, God's got this. For God selected or deliberately chose what in the world is foolish to put the wise to shame, and what the world calls weak to put the strong to shame. I'm going to say one more thing and I'm closing. This right here might be a little, I hope this is an eye-opener. Sometimes we don't relieve the stress, relieve it, let go of the grip, or let the grip let go of us, because we don't know how. And sometimes, just sometimes, we invite the stress and refuse to let go because it's comfortable. Wow. Wow. It's familiar. We know what to expect. And so we hold on to that stress because we don't like it. But at least we know what to expect. So either way, right now, we're going to have a prayer. We're going to have an altar service. I want you to tell yourself and tell yourself constantly, it's okay for it to let go, and it's okay for me to to let go. It'll be okay. Start that. Right now, I want everybody to stand. Our God is awesome. Our God is powerful. Our God has never lost a battle. God sees your stress. He sees your mess. He sees what you're going through. He understands it more than you ever imagined. Because I can guarantee you, He felt some. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to go through stressful situations. God is awesome. God is powerful. God knows. God knows. God knows. And He says, when darkness is overwhelming you, trust Him to lead you to the light. Right now, if you've got any need from God, any need, I invite you to the altar. But especially, if you're fighting stress, if stress is about to beat you down or about to close you in, I invite you to come, especially you. But anybody that's got a need in their life, I invite them to come right now. Come. Come and pray. Whatever the need is. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. He knows. He sees. He understands a whole lot better than you think He does. He created you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're awesome, God. You're awesome. And you got your hands on us, Lord. You got your hands on us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for these mighty men. Touch them, Lord. Lift them up. Strengthen them, Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you don't have to pray for yourself, raise your hands and point them this way and pray for those that are in the altar. Pray for them. And if you don't feel like praying, raise your hands, just praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, God. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Help us, God, to talk to ourselves about how big you are. Help us, God, to seek you early. Thank you, Father. Glory. Help us to walk in faith. Thank you, God. Three countries coming against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, all they did was raise their hands and praise God in the middle of the storm, and God took care of them. They fought each other. They didn't even realize who they were fighting. God blinded them. Whatever's coming against you today, God's got this. God's got this. God's got it. Thank you, Father. Glory. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. There's nothing impossible for you. I ask you right now, Father, to minister to us, Lord, in a very powerful way. And we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father.